This is Central Time. It's been an unprecedented year in a lot of ways, but how did it all affect Wisconsin's kids and their school experiences? Our next guests have touched base with dozens of young Wisconsinites about their school year and their mental health. Together, they've compiled the responses in the Voices of Wisconsin Students Project, Learning, Coping, and Building Resilience During COVID-19. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you're a student yourself. What have been the biggest challenges of this school year? Parents, teachers, school staff, what are you seeing? Call 800-642-1234. Linda Hall is director of the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. Linda, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here during this week of Children's Mental Health Awareness.
And Sharon Belton is director of WIPS Research Partners, the Wisconsin Institute of Public Policy and Service, or WIPS for short, is a UW organization that provides analysis, research, and problem-solving expertise. Sharon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Sharon, there's been a lot of conversation, including on this show, about how school shutdowns and virtual learning and all that has affected kids. Why did you think it was important to go and ask the actual kids themselves?
Well, I think, to be honest, there was very little information available about students' experiences and perspectives in terms of how they were processing and handling the COVID-19 pandemic, both from the perspective of their learning environments, but also from the perspective of their mental health. And at the same time, what coping strategies and resiliency were they developing in terms of helping them respond and cope with the situation?
Can you tell us a little bit about the focus groups and where you went around the state with kids grades 6 through senior year?
Sure. In January and February of this past winter, we conducted 23 virtual focus groups with a total of 160 middle and high school students from across the state of Wisconsin. The participants themselves represented 68 different Wisconsin communities and 38 different counties. And combined, they attend 96 different public and private and parochial schools. And we really wanted this to reflect the voices of Wisconsin students and provide an opportunity for kids from all corners of the state to get together with other kids like them to hear how each other was experiencing the pandemic and just have a conversation and opportunity to talk more about it.
Linda, there's been a lot of concern about the impact of, you know, not being at school for so many kids, what it was going to mean for their mental and emotional well-being. Looking at the responses from kids around the state, what really stood out to you?
Well, we know that it's been a rough year for kids. Their social networks and their social supports have been disrupted in many ways. But I think what we also see in this report is that kids learned a lot about themselves, and they learned new activities, new hobbies, and they built resilience in new, sometimes pretty surprising ways. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, can you talk about, there's concerns, and we'll get to some of those, but can you talk about the lessons of resilience that might surprise some people?
Well, I'm going to ask Sharon to help me out with that one, because she's the person who really has more of the detail of the conversations with them. But I think that they, in some ways, when youth learned about themselves, they learned about their own rhythms and what works best for them in terms of responding to the virtual learning options that they had. They learned some new ways to work with what they had. Sharon, can you remember something in particular that stood out for you in terms of resilience?
Well, I think a couple of things related to the topic of resiliency and developing coping strategies is that despite very significant challenges across the board, the students that we spoke with have found the silver linings or the reasons to be positive, and many have developed a greater sense of self-awareness. In particular, I think students developed a greater appreciation and sense of gratitude for their families, their friends, their schools, and they were really appreciative of the opportunity to be in school in person and were very much looking forward to going back to school in person. And nearly every student that we talked with was able to identify some new coping mechanism or something that they could do to help them deal with the pandemic, from things like meditation, journaling, spending time outside, taking up a new hobby, exercising, playing chess, finding ways to connect with their friends online, playing an instrument, listening to music. For many of the high school students, just getting in their car and taking a drive and listening to music was a way that they could recharge. And I think obviously there were enormous challenges that kids have faced over the past year and are still facing. But I think it's also important to recognize that Wisconsin kids are very resilient, and that really came through in the conversations with the kids that we talked with.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Heidi is with us in Winona, Minnesota. Heidi, hello.
Hello. So I have a freshman and a senior in high school this year, both girls. And my senior has just been flying through, done great, got full ride academic scholarship to the college of her choice. It hasn't fazed her. My younger, however, has really struggled this year. And I think part of it is she didn't get that introduction to high school that most of the kids get. It was over halfway through the school year before she stepped foot on campus. And those changing friendships and stuff that naturally shift in high school, she didn't have the day-to-day interaction with her peers in person. And then to add insult to injury, she was also diagnosed with a chronic condition. So she's been struggling with illness, not COVID-related, but then trying to navigate this COVID world and digital learning. And it's just been a struggle.
Heidi, thank you so much for sharing that story. Good luck to well both of your daughters. I hope especially your freshman is able to get through this. Linda, can you talk about what we know about resources available, especially for people like Heidi's younger daughter who are facing that difficult time? What can be a difficult transition in a normal year going to high school, not plus all this stuff?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many families I've talked to over the past year where one of their children is doing great and adapting really well, and the other is having challenges. It really does depend a lot on what their social connectedness was, before the school buildings were closed, and how much they have figured out how to stay connected with others in their group. We are hearing, we hear it in this project, and our office also does listening sessions and additional ways that we reach out to youth. We hear them saying that they want adults to have more mental health literacy, to be able to understand mental health and talk with them about it. So they're really looking for easier conversations about mental health and reduce stigma, and they're looking for more support at school. The Voices of Wisconsin students, there were a number of students in that group who said that they couldn't get access to their counselors. Their counselors were overloaded, didn't have enough time to talk to them. And then not all schools have mental health therapy going on at school, which is another strategy for people to get help. So what we do know also is that kids rely on each other. And they help each other. And so we are hearing from youth that they want not only adults, but they want to learn more about mental health so that they can be better equipped to take care of themselves, know where to go for help, and be able to support their friends.
Wrapping up our conversation with Linda Hall and Sharon Belton, looking at kids' mental health during a year of challenges and isolation, with a new report based on focus groups talking to students from grades 6 through 12. Sharon, Linda had mentioned something about stigma earlier, and that was a theme that came up with some of the kids you talked to, that they recognize a problem and they'd like to talk to someone. They're worried. Could you talk about some of the things they said about how they might be judged or viewed if they raised mental health concerns?
Yes, we ask kids, where are you going for support for your mental health and wellness? And what are some of the barriers that you might be encountering with respect to accessing that support? And stigma really was the main reason why the majority of the students that we talked to are not seeking help. They expressed emotions with respect to being afraid of, showing their vulnerabilities with respect to mental health issues and being embarrassed or having a sense of shame that they can't handle a situation on their own. A lot of the students expressed skepticism about whether reaching out and asking for help will really work, or some of them struggled with the right kind of words to describe some of the things that they may be feeling. And a lot of the students expressed that they were concerned about whether they could trust adults or people that they might want to reach out to keep the information that they might share confidential. And, you know, want to have those conversations, but aren't sure, you know, how to go about having them, and being worried that they'll be labeled for having a mental health, you know, related concern. And I think in this month of mental health awareness, it's really an opportunity for people to talk with their kids about these important topics, because it's really on the top of their mind in terms of how they're coping.
Yeah, Linda, COVID. You mentioned adult mental health literacy being something that can help out kids a lot. What kind of things can we do as parents and teachers and school staff and members of the media to have a more positive conversation about mental health that avoids people thinking like there's a stigma that they'll be viewed negatively if they admit something like this?
Well, it's a lot more of just talking about it and normalizing it. Our office right now is working on a mental health curriculum that will be taught at the elementary, middle, and high school levels that will help to inform kids, give them the tools and the words they need to talk about mental health. And we hope will, as it is taught more, will also build the knowledge that other school staff have. So we know that that is important. I would say that we do a lot of reaching out. We have listening sessions. This week we're having an art gallery, and we're having a teen mental health panel as part of our Children's Mental Health Awareness Week. We hear all these things that Sharon just mentioned, but we also hear that where there are school mental health programs, and it's become more normal for kids to walk down the hall to see the therapist, that the stigma is being overcome. It's also being overcome in schools where Hope Squads and other peer-led groups are talking about this, and they're teaching these peer-led groups work on reducing stigma. And so those are important things to happen in the school. We've also heard that when kids go to therapy and they get better, that it starts to change their perception, and they also will advocate for other friends to get help if they need it.
And Sharon, as we wrap up, if there are teachers, policymakers, whoever out there listening right now, where can they go to access this report and hopefully get some use out of it?
Sure. Two things. The information about the project and the reports can be found on the WIPS website, and that's WIPPS.org. There's a link to all of the reports on our website. And we're also doing a webinar discussion on Wednesday, May 5th. So coming up in 2 days, from 2:30 to 4:30. It's open to the public. You can register for that Zoom presentation of the findings on our website as well. And it will give us an opportunity to talk in a little more detail about, you know, the various findings of the reports.
We'll leave it there for now. Sharon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Linda, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Linda Hall is director of the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health, and Sharon Belton is director of WIPS Research Partners. We talked about the Voices of Wisconsin Students project, looking at the challenges facing students during the pandemic and what the students themselves had to say about it.